Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of Bare Belief. I'm Gabriel, and I'm here with...
Jessica!
Hey, Jessica!
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good! Okay, so we're losing Jessica. Are you okay?
No.
Oh, God. Dear listeners, Jessica needs a hug. So please...
And I'm a non-touchy person.
Yeah, what is happening? What is happening? So if you want to give Jessica a virtual hug, I suggest you can all flood the comments. Send us an email at barebeliefpodcast@gmail.com because Jessica's about to lose it. We need your support now that more than ever. So as you know, as you might suspect, we do record these things kind of in advance. So I think it's taking its toll on us on us right now. But thank you again, all of you, for listening and coming with us. You can do all the things. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, our website, barebelief.ca, and via email. We're always happy to hear from you, so and tell your friends. So today, we thought we're going to go a little topical in terms of our topics. I think it's hard to exist in the world right now without being at least concerned or, you know, maybe even scared a little bit of what's happening internationally. So a couple of weeks ago when the strikes were happening in Venezuela, I happened to be in a place where I could see Venezuela from my window. And so that morning when I woke up and I'd heard news about what had happened in Venezuela. And I don't want this to turn into a politics podcast. We're not going to take a political view of this, but I do kind of want to take a second to recap what has happened in the last year. Like 2025 saw a lot of military aggression. And I apologize in advance to our friends from the United States. But like as a Canadian, it's a little scary. And these are just the top 10. Okay, these are top 10 actions from the American military in 2025. What if we include the Venezuela thing? So there's the intervention in Venezuela where they decided to grab Maduro and his wife in Caracas. There's airstrikes in Syria against ISIS that happened also in December of 2025 and ongoing in January. There was an air campaign against the Houthi rebels in Yemen. That was in March until May of 2025. Then there was strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities in June of 2025. There's also what they called counter-narcotics operations in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific, which, by the way, were denied by other intelligence forces. So there's debate as to whether that was actually counter-narcotics. There's also the support for Israel in Gaza, which has been going on for a few years, but still going on now. Military presence and operations in Somalia. I feel like this is something that we don't really hear about, but it's still going on right now. There were airstrikes in Nigeria just around Christmas of 2025. This is just recent. There's ongoing operations in Iraq. Troops remain in Iraq right now to advise and train against the supposedly ongoing ISIL insurgency. And there's also other military buildups and threats against Iran. So there's a lot is the point that I'm trying to make. And I feel like the world feels crazy right now. I feel like it feels dangerous in a way that in my lifetime, I feel like I remember in the 80s, we kind of had the nuclear scare and like we were all taught to like duck and cover and like the Soviets were evil and like all of the communists and all this stuff. Like these are like early memories from that time.
I remember Desert Storm.
Yeah. And Desert
Storm. I remember going out with students and protesting, and even though we weren't sort of directly, like we sent peace officers and whatnot. But yeah, that was my sort of first awareness of.
But this right now feels different to me. This, I feel like, and as Canadians, I think we feel especially threatened right now by what's happening in the U.S. The rhetoric around making us a 51st state. Lately, it's been kind of shown that the Trump administration is interested in resources in Greenland. There's people in Europe and NATO who are kind of freaking out over how international treaties are no longer being respected, international law is not being respected. So I guess the point I want to get to out of all of this is, like, how do we deal with this from a spiritual perspective? And maybe even, like, what is the role of spirituality? Or in your case, what is the role of the church? How do we bridge all this together? And how do we maintain our sanity in this? Because if I think about this stuff too long, I literally can't. When I was on vacation, and my friend who was with me when this whole Venezuela thing was happening kept on scrolling on her phone and, like, listing out all of these things that were happening, these, like, serious war things and violence. And I had to stop her. I was like, you know what? Unfortunately, I understand this is happening. This is terrible, but I'm on vacation right now and I don't want to ruin my day. Or, like, this might be selfish. Like, I understand it's important. It's what's happening in the world. But, oh my God, like, how many vacations do you get in a year? Like, yeah. I don't want Trump to ruin my vacation.
Yeah, well, there's an issue of mental wellness and how much we take in. But then I think we do this because it's the only kind of form of control we have. Like, I am not in any sort of political leadership. So I can't call somebody. I can't in a higher level, right? As sort of a minion citizen, have no direct relationship with any of this. So I think some go to social media because, you know what, I'm going to keep myself informed. I'm going to keep myself apprised. But I can create a paranoia. It can create all this stuff. So I think we also need to be well aware of when it's enough for the day, you know. If you're reading, like, 4, 5, 6 articles on the same issue, yes, there's difference between getting perspective and then sort of an obsession. Each week in services, we pray for leadership, and not just our own, but for the country, for the nation, for nations, for all the, you know, as well as for all the conflicts out there. And we pray for peace. And I mean, that's the first thing we can do, right? If anything else, we can sort of pray. And is it a simple manifestation, or we just hear God's prayers, or God hears our prayers? That is what our faith teaches us, right? That when we pray, God will listen. And then after that, it's sort of a spectrum. When you asked to talk about this, I know this isn't sort of my wheelhouse of ministry, so I started looking around, and I can only speak from the church's perspective, is that there's a lot of grassroots initiatives happening. So I know it'd be really nice to see the one representative or some representative of the Christian faith or spiritual groups that say, no, Mr. Trump, this is unacceptable, or this and that. And we do have representatives doing that. But
there are some, right? I have seen a few, like, I think there was a guy in Chicago one of the bishops in Chicago that spoke out quite loudly. It's kind of starting. I know the Pope was also not super impressed with what's happening.
Right.
And he's from Chicago as well, just out of a happenstance there.
Right. So now check this out. When I did some research, like, the first one to sort of not protest, but to
speak out.
Thank you. Against the Trump, was Bishop Marianne Buddy at the inaugurational prayer service.
Yes, that was a while ago too.
Well, that's a year ago.
And she got a firestorm. Like, people were not happy with what there was. She was right, by the way, but
right. So she was kind of the first. You were speaking about the Pope. Well, according to my sources, that he has clergy escorting people to these ICE hearings. Churches are feeding immigrants in these situations and supporting them on that way. And he's actually replacing clergy, the more conservative clergy. Yeah, and actually one of them was in the Diocese of Florida, which includes Mar-a-Lago. And it's now the bishop, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, is a South American immigrant bishop.
Oh, wow.
Right? So
that's the kind of like silent protest you can do where you put people in these positions.
Yeah, but that's within their sort of authority. What can I do in this situation?
And I think, just so we can take a little moment there, I think that as lay people or people in these congregations, when we see these things happening, that's where you have to throw your support. So I think like sometimes I question myself, like, what can I do? This is a question that has been at top of mind for the last few months. Like as we've been seeing violence around the world kind of escalate in this very scary way. Like I literally question myself, like, what can I do? Because I think if we think back to things like the Second World War, when Hitler became in power, one of the questions I had when I was learning about this history was like, why didn't people do anything? Like, why did they let these people get to that power? And sometimes I'm afraid that we're seeing examples of this happening again. And I don't want to be part of that history that I sat idly by and just let this happen around me. I feel, even though I'm just one person, I do question, like, what can I do? And I think that's one of the things you can do. Like, make sure when you're supporting someone or you're throwing money at something or you're attending an event that you're attending the event for the right people and the right reasons, because that's where your influence matters, even as an individual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, like, there are organizations like that. Some of them that, so the main, if we're talking about sort of a advocate, is the Commission of Churches on International Affairs. So this group advises the World Council of Churches. So it's a number of the denominations altogether, and they sort of make various decisions on liturgy and relationship and whatnot. And this group, the CCIA, so Commission of Churches and International Affairs, they also have like status to advise the UN. So there is
just like a recognized advisor.
Yeah. So sort of, you know, these religious groups. So not just with that stuff. So the World Council of Churches has put out the sort of statements, condemns the U.S. attacks on Venezuela, calls for respect of the international law. They've also urged the U.S. and EU Commission to engage in safeguarding Palestinians, a form of peace and reunification and cooperation on Korean Peninsula convenes. They're all over the place, you know, all over in all these sort of, you know, the WCC. So the World Council of Churches represented at annual meetings of World Bank Group International Monetary Fund.
Wow.
Right. So but we don't hear these clips because, you know,
you don't. It's kind of surprising because we hear kind of the opposite side of all of this. You don't really see what's being done positively. It's like, but I think that's kind of like how our news cycle works now. It's like the more negative it is, the more violent it is, the better. And all of these things, which counters all of this.
Exactly.
We don't hear about at all.
No. And I think that's where, so again, we're sort of talking about where sort of the heavy hitter money fiduciaries are, right? And that's sort of in the more evangelical conservative church down in the States. And a lot of them are still supporting Trump. So we see that alignment. And then it looks like all churches are aligning this area. But like it's not. So I mean, and it is a scary time. And apparently, a bishop out of New Hampshire, he was on an interview, and he's advises clergy to get affairs in order and update their wills. You just don't know where this is going. I mean, many of the churches are. So again, what can we do individually? I mean, I don't want to sort of perpetuate the sort of fear mongering that's also happening around this. Like, I think we have to be aware and concerned, but fear keeps us all divided as well, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think fear keeps us divided to a certain extent, but there's also fear can be a motivation for positive change sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like if you think back to the Second World War, the resistance, for example, in France was like a big, you know, way to keep Jews safe and take care of people and was part of the solution to that problem.
Right, but also think in that time, Canada didn't let the Jewish population into Canada for until a certain time, right? So again, it comes into all this sort of information and like what is right and how do we respond and is it our business? Like I mean, on a micro level, you know, like it's like your neighbor, you know, domestic violence or anything else sort of really negative happening. It's like, do you intervene? Do you support the victims in that home? Like, how do I help or how do I not help? Or hey, this isn't my problem, right? Another organization in Canada is Kairos. And there are sort of 10 denominations not the Anglican Church, of all churches in Canada. So like their mandate is churches and religious organizations across the denomination, advocates from Africa, Latin America, Asia and Pacific, the Middle East, with Canada's from coast to coast. They support the indigenous community, young activists, women's human rights, and they fight for ecological issues. So, I mean, it's finding these groups. And again, do your research, because we're not sure some of the background of some of all these sort of smaller grassroots organizations.
And I think that's where part of what I was saying earlier is like, what can I do? Well, that's one of the things I can do is I can look into these different organizations and I can either throw my money behind them or participate or volunteer or send a letter. I mean, I know that I know it can sound cheesy, but like, write your representatives.
Yeah.
Write your MPs, if you're in the US, write your senators, write your district representatives, write your governors, like in Canada, write your PMs, write your premiers, write your MLAs, your MPs, like your MNAs, like whatever, where you are, your mayor, it doesn't matter. Make your voice heard, because I have sources who are quite close to the Canadian government at the federal level. I have an uncle who was a minister of the New Brunswick government. So, and I know that these things matter. We think they don't matter, but they do. They look at the volume of emails they get or letters, and because that's the only way they have of testing what their constituency is thinking. So I will continue to email my ministers and MPs because, I mean, it's the only voice I have. And in the end, in 20 years or 30 years or whatever, like if I'm on my deathbed and I'm looking back, like, I don't want to have that guilt on my conscience that I saw the world exploding around me and I just sat around in my house going, whatever, who cares? It's not me. It doesn't concern me. It does concern me in a certain way.
That's, you know? That's a place of privilege too, right?
It is a place of privilege. Absolutely. Like when I think about it, like when they were attacking in Caracas, I literally can see Venezuela from the room I was in the Caribbean. And I'm just like thinking like how terrible it is. But like, I'm literally sitting there drinking cocktails, looking out the window going, oh, pish posh, how terrible. Like, it's horrible. It's the world is so unfair. And at the end, I don't know, like, I just don't want to be that kind of person. I really don't.
Right. So you're reminding me of a poet. Please help me with this name.
Pastor Niemöller. That sounds German.
I'm not certain, but I remember hearing this poem a number of times.
Let me check.
Martin
Niemöller, yeah. And he is Friedrich Gustav Emil Martin Niemöller was a German theologian. Yeah, that's Niemöller.
Yeah, so...
So those the years and years of studying German finally paid off.
Thank you. I mean, his lifespan was from January 1892 to March of 1984. So, you know, Pastor Martin has sort of seen a lot in his lifetime. So he wrote this poem called First They Came for the Jews.
Oh, I remember this.
Right?
It's very famous poem.
Right? So first they came for the Jews and I did not speak because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the communists and I did not speak out because I was not communist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak out for me.
What a great sentiment. And I think that's expresses very succinctly what I'm feeling. Like, because I know, like, okay, fine, I'm not Venezuelan or I'm not in Greenland, but I really feel like at some point, like, they will come for me. Like, it's just a question of time. It's just a matter of time. I'm in certain ways, I'm marginalized. In certain ways, I'm privileged. And I can't let that privilege blind me to the fact that like this is happening all around me.
So yeah, we have the privilege of just turning it off and taking our mental space from it.
Absolutely.
But again, I think that's what I was sort of alluding to at the beginning of finding the balance, keeping myself informed in a way where I feel I am attuned to what's happening. I maybe it's finding, researching more in the positive, like where can I go to support? What can I do? Is it a letter campaign? Is it a this? Is it that? Finding those resources where you feel like you're contributing versus just staying in the doom scrolling, right? Because that's not helping anybody. That's not helping you. That's just...
I've stopped doom scrolling. I will not. I just refuse now. It's interesting because the algorithm is really good at figuring this stuff out. I'm not getting it anymore. It's completely gone from my algorithm. And Sumari and I, it was my friend Sumari, was on the vacation with me last week, and we kind of she was keeping me like on this constant stream of the stuff she was seeing on Facebook, and I was like, girl, I am not seeing any of that. Like my I get heated rivalry and then
oh, we know what you do in your free time.
And that's all the ads I'm getting on Facebook. Meanwhile, she's getting like Trump this, Trump that, and Venezuela this, and like, so you can kind of shield yourself from it,
but or use the algorithm, right? So
use the algorithm,
right? Where is the positive stuff? Then more the positive stuff will come up, and hey, oh, so then you feel encouraged. Oh, this group just did this. So, I mean, I'm talking from a Christian perspective, but our mutual friend Dion. Put me onto a story about a group of Buddhist monks walking across the states.
But see, that's what I want to see. Like, that's the kind of stuff, like, I'd like to see. But it's hard to, like, bring your algorithm to that. Because I don't think that's very lucrative for Facebook to promote cool monks.
Well, and you're not even allowed to share news feeds on Facebook anymore, right?
Well, in Canada, we're limited.
Yeah. So, but again, I think if you're sort of looking on that, the algorithm picks up other stories or different parts, right? So, I mean, it started in October, on October 26th, and it's supposedly going to mid-February. They started in Fort Worth, Texas, and going to Washington. And each stop along the way, they're promoting peace, teaching mindfulness, forgiveness, and healing.
See, I can see that's the kind of stuff that I feel... That sentiment, the mindfulness, the forgiving, I am 100% behind that. That is right, or tickles all of my atheistic, spiritual funny bones.
Right. But, and then the funny thing is, I think, so I remember when first Trump, lack of a better word, regime was happening, and the immigrant or refugees, or anyways, that were being jailed, criminalized, and the kids and the parents were being separated into these steel cages, right? And I remember going to a protest for that, and I had some clergy colleagues join me who know how to protest, right? So one was like, "We need to sing a song, we need to do this," but this younger generation don't do. I mean, I have friends who work for advocacy groups. But that same kind of like that sort of 60s, like peaceful sit-ins and that type of awareness fostering versus the big street, like rah, 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 which again is still effective in its own ways as well. Right.
But I think that's how you bring awareness a lot of times of the big, massive.
And that's what the media is going to follow. The media is not going to follow a nice little, hey, kumbaya thing.
While we're recording, this weekend in the U.S., there's been thousands of protests against ICE and all of the crazy things that are going on out there. This now's the time to shine. Like, this is how I would expect religious leaders to stick out come out from their churches and say, no, 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 these are the people that Jesus taught us that we need to protect.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's where it's happening too, right? So AOC and James...
When you say AOC, you mean Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think her name is?
So, and James Tallarico, I believe it is. They're two legislators, and they've actively objected to all these measures due to religious faith. Like, hey, you're saying you're this. And so, again, I know that's not like a faith group or a faith.
Doesn't matter.
right? But I think, again,
I think this is one of those moments where everybody has to come together.
And
if you think about it, if you look at like Christianity mm-hmm. as a whole, and you take the Christian umbrella and you look at the thousands, there are literally thousands of denominations and churches. And it's crazy when you look at the whole, how it all evolved. It's going to take a massive effort. Christians, Muslims, Jews,
everybody. Yes,
everybody needs to put a stop.
And they are. And they are showing up to these protests on the grassroots, right? So Trinity Center at West Cornwall on Wall Street have many active protests and programming and whatnot, combating all these different things that have been happening throughout the years. So again, we just don't get the micro bites or the place that it's shown. But when you are at those protests, the banners are out, the flags are there saying, right, no, this is unacceptable. We are this group and we are there. So I remember the protests on Wall Street for all that stuff happening back then. I believe it was about 7 of my colleagues went down to Square Victoria and with their collars on, with our banners, and went down there. So it's happening. But again, yeah, so maybe we need to do better and posting. This is what we've done. Here's the next one. And then sharing that kind of it. Again, using the algorithm.
Marketing problem.
And communication versus like whatever. So I don't know what the solution is, but I know people are working really, really hard. And this gets back to that point that I sort of keep saying, sort of the individual perspective of spirituality to the corporate, right? Like you're asking to see a big group thing, but it's been the individuals and their faith that are going and showing up and whatnot. So yeah, maybe we need to use our clout or what, I mean, we don't.
Your influence.
Our influence, because we don't really have any clout anymore as a sort of, like we do, but we don't. But yeah, you know, the church faith goers haven't been challenged in this kind of way. I mean, I've done some community development, and one of the sort of evaluation tools I use is going by the 8 areas of ministry, and one is advocacy. And I can say 3 out of the 4 churches that I went to doing this particular process were like, well, what is that? How do I do that? How do we do that as a church? Like, we don't really do that, you know? So we've kind of gotten out of practice of it. We've gotten complacent in our privilege being in a developed world, right? Like, we don't see this stuff every day. So I think we're learning also not just faith groups, but people, like, how do we be attuned and it's not just a story bite anymore? And is this real? I think it feels a little bit like Alice in Wonderland, right? We're kind of in Wonderland. Like, is this real? Is this not?
Because part of the problem is that, like, we've all grown up in, or at least we're going to say we, as in like us North Americans, let's take a North American perspective here, and not even North American, like, because I think if we were Mexican or Guatemalan or something, we might have a different perspective. But as United States born people or Canadian born people, I've never thought that I'd be at a point in my life where I'd be considering, like, wait a minute, like, are we going to war? Like, is this a thing that is, like, can Canada actually get attacked? And this is a thing that, like, I think now there's a possibility. I think there's a likelihood is low, but it is a possibility.
But it's not off the docket.
And it's not off the docket. And if you look at what's happening in Canada right now in terms of our national finances, we have never spent more money on military operations. We are ramping up like crazy. We are creating military bases in Europe for the first time since World War II. Like, there are actions being taken right now in Canada militarily that are very serious. So all that to say that, like, I think it's going to become more and more important to keep kind of our spiritual heads on our shoulders.
Right. And take time to pause.
Absolutely.
Right. And to pray and to kind of regain that focus.
Yeah.
Because then it takes the anxiety, not the anxiety, but the pressure.
There is anxiety.
Right. But if we take those moments of pause, reflection, prayer, it takes the pot off the burner for a second. Right.
Let it bring it down.
Bring it down a little bit. And then it's like, okay, now we go back. I mean, and that's any kind of conflict resolution, right? Like, okay, I need to take a minute and then I'll come back to it. So I think, moving forward, I think we need to kind of balance that.
Absolutely. So I think we did it.
I think we did.
All right, everybody. So once again, thank you so much for listening to our little musings today. I will remind you, if you want to support us, the best way to do it is to subscribe and share to your friends. So subscribe to us on YouTube at Bear Belief, Spotify, same thing, Bear Belief, and Apple Podcasts. And if you want, you can also go on our website, bearbelief.ca, and email us with all of your questions, concerns, and even like, what do you think of this madness that's going on right now? bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com. So thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you, Gabriel.
And thank you to all you listeners. We'll see you all again in 2 weeks.